Welcome to The Mentor's Voice. I am Chris Moorman, and I'm here with the most amazing Christy Kramer. How are you doing today, Christy?
I'm doing well. Thanks for that intro, Chris. I really appreciate it.
Do you feel amazing today?
I feel amazing today. Yes, I do. We have a great mentor to introduce, and summer's going well. It's been great, Chris.
I know. I wanted to describe you as amazing because you were telling me about how you've got, the summer intern program going. It's in full swing, and you're hearing back from students, and they are excited about, where you've connected them. So that's pretty awesome that you've connected students into the world of aging services, and they're appreciative. They enjoy it, which is, it's great.
Yeah, it's been very, very exciting, and it's been really inspiring to see some of the work that the students are doing this summer. And our mentor, actually, on this episode is one of the host sites this year. So I'm looking forward to sharing this episode with all of our interns out there.
Very cool. Yeah. So who is our mentor today? Tell us a little bit more about him.
Yes. So our mentor is Michael Rosenblatt. He is the president and CEO of Parker Jewish Institute for Healthcare and Rehabilitation, which is in New Hyde Park, New York, which is where my roots are from, Long Island, that area. So I know where he's coming from. It's a very, very large and very prominent organization in that area. He is the CEO of that organization. He also is the founder and chairman of AgeWell New York, which is a managed long-term care plan, which is also a very prominent thing in the New York area. Like I said, he's hosted an intern this summer, which has been wonderful. And the previous 2 years, he's actually served as a mentor to students who have been in the summer enrichment program. So it's been a wonderful thing to have Michael part of the summer enrichment program. And now he's going to be on the Mentor's Voice. So I'm excited to continue having him more involved with what we're doing at Leading Age.
Very awesome. Yeah. And we're excited. Today's student interviewer is Seth Rubin, who is a rising junior at GW working on his BS in business and entrepreneurship. So great to have Michael and Seth on this episode of The Mentor's Voice, episode 6 of season 3. So please enjoy as you listen to them share this conversation together.
Good morning. My name is Seth Rubin, and I am the program co-director at Leading Age Rise Program. Today, we will be interviewing Michael Rosenblatt. Thank you for coming on today. The first question I would like to ask you, Michael, is tell me about your leadership journey and how did you become the leader you are today?
Sure. Yeah, I'm Michael Rosenblatt. I'm the president and CEO of the Parker Jewish Institute for Healthcare and Rehabilitation, located in New York City. I'm also the chairman of the board of AgeWell New York, which is a managed long-term care plan / Medicare Advantage plan in New York. So my leadership journey actually started with my father. I'm second generation healthcare. My father operated both hospitals, clinics, and nursing homes during his career. So that quote kind of rubbed off on me. At a young age, I would go to work with my father. So I got to see healthcare in action. Originally, I started at age 18, being a dispatcher for an ambulance company. And then I started to ride the ambulance. And to this day, I'm still a certified emergency medical technician. So healthcare has treated myself, my family very well. And my leadership journey started in that way, being second generation and starting with ambulances.
That's incredible. I really like that your father had that impact on you, because growing up, I got to see my family do stuff in healthcare, and that's had an impact on what I want to do when I'm older. So I can relate to that.
That's awesome. That's tremendous.
That'll lead into our next question.
Sure.
How do you keep your team motivated and goal-oriented?
So from a team perspective, we do set goals every quarter, not always achievable. It's hard, especially dealing with the pandemic. We keep people motivated. We speak with people, understand their concerns. What are their concerns? We get their concerns resolved. We work on new projects. New projects are exciting for individuals. It keeps them motivated within the profession. And education is very important. I'm very big on that, whereby everyone has to always be learning to do well from that standpoint. And if the team stays motivated, if they see myself being motivated, then they will be motivated also. Not easy to accomplish in this day and age because of the pandemic.
Yeah, the pandemic has caused a lot of problems, and that can lead us into the question of when there's a crisis, how do you take steps to arrest the situation? What did you do during COVID? What is your plan of action?
Sure. regarding resolving a crisis. So, you know, those are big words, obviously. There's no such thing as resolving a crisis. You must manage the crisis. The first item is, at least for myself, is just staying nice and calm. I don't become, you know, to coin a phrase, rattled. Because if I become rattled, then you lose control of the situation with it for your leadership team. They need to see the leader calm. So whether I'm dealing with a flood, snowstorm, blizzard, a pandemic, staying calm is key and willing to make decisions. You know, myself and the leadership team that I have, we're not afraid to make decisions, whether they're the right ones or the wrong ones. Just make a decision, you reassure your team, and you keep moving forward from that standpoint. You know, by example, during the pandemic, I stand by every decision the organization made throughout the height of the pandemic. We don't go back and relook at our decisions. We make them and we implement and we move forward. So we're not afraid to do that.
That's amazing. It was I admire all the healthcare workers and people in your position that had to make those decisions, because like you said, you can't go back because the pandemic's still going. So if you're back there trying to fix a mistake you might have made, then you're going to create more problems.
Absolutely. Agree. We make our decisions and we live with them and we move on.
I appreciate that. I like that. What areas do you see yourself growing still?
So I'm always looking at education for myself, for the team members that I work with. We attend various conferences, educational sessions. We're always trying to learn. The success, as someone once taught me, part of your success is being able to read the material that comes out about the profession. So we do a lot of reading, and that makes us, and educating ourselves, that makes us more successful each day.
I like that. What are the biggest challenges that my generation have to face regarding aging services provision?
Oh, I would say that, you know, depending upon what type of role you are, you within aging services, finding leadership people, finding staff in general, you know, we can never find enough team members to work in the organization. Wanting to find people who want to work in our profession is a large issue right now. And it's not a matter of pay. It's just a matter of individuals who want to come work within the aging sector, the healthcare sector. At this level, it is difficult to find good quality individuals. The very much of a priority for our organization is our people management.
I can see how that could be a problem. I worked at a nursing home in high school, and I always, whenever I had a good experience or a nice story to tell, I would always tell a friend at school that I thought
absolutely
was good for that
all
job.
All good things.
So who is the most influential person to you in your life and in your field?
So I would say that my father was influential, my wife, and the board that I work with and for each and every day. They combine, I get the inspiration to do my position in making an attempt to do it in a successful way. But having a lot of support does make my life easier to get the job done for the residents.
That's very nice. I like that. If you could give one piece of advice to people interested in your field, what would it be?
I would say that if people are coming into the profession, they must advocate with the government for proper funding. Funding is a large concern for us, reimbursement from the Medicare program, the Medicaid program. They must perform advocacy to get the goals accomplished by getting us funded. That is where we lack right now. We must all work together to get these organizations funded at a proper level.
I like that. So this is a side question, but throughout your career, have you tried to build strong relationships with the government?
Yes, we have a following. We have our own political action committee that I'm the co-treasurer of. So we're very politically active. We have a state lobbyist, a federal lobbyist to remain informed and active at both levels.
That's very interesting. And the next question is, what was your first experience in geriatrics?
My first experience was actually, besides going to work with my father, was when I did an emergency medical service call up in Albany County, and I came in contact with an elderly individual who needed to go to the hospital due to dementia and a variety of other issues. I always remember that gentleman showing up at his house to help, and that had an impact on me.
That's amazing. When or what made you interested in what you do?
Again, I'm second generation. I saw what my father did for a career. It interested me. So I'm rather lucky. I knew what I wanted to do at a younger age.
What are some of the best ways that people outside of the field of geriatrics can get involved in supporting it?
So I would say people can start to learn about what healthcare organizations are available in their local community. Here in the New York City metropolitan area, we're very lucky. We're no more than 10 minutes from a hospital on any given day. When you go into other parts of the country, you don't have the voluminous healthcare that exists in New York. So learning about your local hospital, just having a little bit of knowledge, community programs, your own physician from that standpoint, learning who they're interacting with, who owns their practice, are they hospital owned, not hospital owned, anything you can do to understand how healthcare runs within your local community is always a plus.
That's good advice. And if somebody like me were to come into your office, you know, wanting to learn more about geriatrics, that's okay too, right? So if I'm in a local area and there's a healthcare place, can I go to the
office? Every organization's different. We offer a fellowship program at Parker for those individuals who want to learn more about healthcare. It's a paid position for 1 year when we rotate you through the organization. So you kind of have a bird's eye view, generally out of school, of what our organization is made up of, how we operate, so you can make the proper career decision.
That's really neat.
We're very proud of that program.
No, that's really cool that you guys offer that, because I know a lot of healthcare systems are trying to implement something like that. So it's very beneficial for people like me.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And then the next question is, if you could only use three words to describe the aging process, what would they be?
Wonderful, exciting, and healthy.
I like this.
Wonderful, again, it's a new stage of life. Exciting. You have to go on more trips maybe. And you got to stay healthy. You got to take care of yourself.
Adding on to that third word, do you guys, in your business, do you guys have like a certain field that works with trying to ensure that people when they age are healthy, like an education?
Yes. We do educational information. We also have a home physician visiting program. So that helps keep people in the community and keeps them healthy.
That's cool. That's definitely something I'm interested in. It's like
we serve about 4,000 plus people in that program.
That's so cool. And last but not least, we want to improve our healthcare for older adults. What would be one thing that we could do to improve our healthcare system?
I would say the priority needs to be to adjust the reimbursement system to match our expenses. Right now, they don't match. And the government must really, with an aging population, make us a priority to fund accordingly from that standpoint. So I'd say that's a major, major priority across the country and for us right now.
For sure. Well, thank you so much for coming on today and taking the time to meet with me.
Sure. It's absolutely been my pleasure. Again, if anybody wants more information, they can reach us through www.parkerinstitute.org. And we're more than happy to answer questions that anybody may have about the healthcare system today for what we do.
All right. Another great episode of The Mentor's Voice featuring Michael and Seth. Thanks again to the two of them for taking their time to share their thoughts and have a great conversation. We absolutely appreciate all of our mentors and interviewers. As always, we like to talk about what is happening in the world of leading age. So, Christy, is there anything else that you would like to share with us today about what's going on with leading age?
Sure. So last week, the big news was that our registration opened. So check out the Leading Age annual meeting registration so you can get registered for our conference, which is November 5th through 8th in Chicago. Big student program. We provide registration scholarships. So for those people who are interested in attending that are students, please apply for a scholarship so that we can help you support you get to Chicago, as well as making sure that you are available to attend the events for the student program. So keep those dates in mind. The other thing too, I want to make sure everyone is familiar with is the Leadership Academy. The Leadership Academy application is still open. I believe it closes in the very beginning of August. So if you have your sights set on maybe doing the Leadership Academy, please check out the application, get it in before it closes. It's going to be a wonderful experience for anyone who's interested. Highly recommend. And then finally, I'm just going to put in like a plug for the future here. We have such a wonderful group of summer interns this summer in our Leading Age Summer Enrichment Program. And we have so many happy host sites. Our members are really enjoying these interns and are signing up for next year. So if you're a student out there, stay tuned. We'll be doing some information sessions, career fairs, virtually, so you get to meet some of our host sites this fall. So keep an eye out for that on our leadingage.org webpage.
Love it. Yep. We, you know, the mission of what we're doing here is just an extension of what you just described, you know, connecting those students, connecting interns to these amazing organizations that are involved in Leading Age. So thank you again, everyone who is doing that. Also, can we do shout outs? I think so, right? Shout out to Sharon Sullivan, who is helping to make Leading Age annual meeting the success that it is. So we appreciate you, Sharon. Good job.
We appreciate you and your support of our program.
Yep. Support of our and your team, all that stuff. Great team. Great Leading Age team. Yeah. So thank you again, everyone, for listening to this episode. Make sure that, you know, if you are listening, you've probably connected to us with us through Spotify or Apple. You can also go to our website, www.thementorsvoice.com, and also connect with us on social media. So LinkedIn or Instagram. And we look forward for another episode to another episode. And remember, your voice can make a difference.